And welcome to another episode of the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's two games against Queen's Park and Cove Rangers, preview this weekend's game at home to Montrose, and we'll have a look at how the final quarter of the season may pan out. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. Brighter nights, brighter mornings, all good. Starting to get the summer vibes.
Yeah, when I'm blowing up for the clock change as well.
End of the month. Which lands on Mother's Day?
Does it land normally?
Is
that just a reminder?
Just reminded the wife that she gets one or less on Mother's Day, which of course didn't really go too well, which, that's what I'm here for. Anyway, we'll crack on with what we've got. We've got quite a few things to go through as we normally seem to do in the last couple of weeks. I will start with something that I kind of said last week. A week in football can be a long time. And we sat here last week and I said after that we'd had a win and a draw, scoring goals. Now a week later, off the back of two defeats and kind of shipping 6 goals in those two games as well, so it just shows you how quickly things can change.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything from the two games, if I'm being brutally honest. They're probably the two tougher games out of the calendar fixtures that you get. But I think the manner of them, and I'm sure we'll touch on the early goals, bemoaned it the last couple of years, but just seems to be happening again. It's pretty common and it's a bit frustrating. You've got to give yourself a chance in these games and it doesn't happen.
I'm doing somebody at this service because I said 6, it's 7 goals. Yeah. I lost
wishful thinking.
Somebody scored one last goal. So we'll briefly touch on last Tuesday's game then against Queen's Park. Same starting lineup as we had on the Saturday. Good to see Gary Fraser on the bench, although he wasn't used, but I guess given the state of the pitch it would have been an absolute suicide to have him in. But this is one thing we're probably going to mention, and I'm going to mention it again later on because it's going to be quite appropriate through this episode. I think 1 minute in or less than a minute in into the game and we've conceded. That's one thing. Again, something else that we've mentioned a few times is the simplicity of the goal that we've conceded. It's a simple ball through the middle of the defence and they've scored. Two or three, at least, I think, maybe even four or five in recent memory that we've scored or we've conceded goals very similar.
Yeah, when I did my notes yesterday from the Cove game, it was actually copy and paste from the notes from Queen's Park's first goal. It was too basic. And whilst you're not scoring many goals, you need to try and be more resolute at the back. And we're too open at times. You try and play a high line, you try and force a team back, but sometimes you've just got to sit in for 10, 15 minutes. We've said it numerous times now. Play your way into the game, do it in quarters, get through the first 15, 20 minutes, feed your way into a game, and you go a goal down within the first minute. It gives the home team a lift, it gives you an uphill task, you're struggling for a good bit of form just now anyway. It's almost suicidal, defending, to be honest.
Yeah, and then inside 20 minutes, it could have easily been 2 or 3. I think there was the pitch at times maybe helped us, the dodgy bobbles hitting it and going away for the goal. And I think a lot of it was coming down that left-hand side, Queen's Park's left-hand side, the right-hand side. And I think that's maybe why Flynn Duffy was substituted within 20 minutes, much the same as the last time we were doing there. Mm-hmm. The right-back seemed to struggle. I think Brandon McCarthy, it was there, and Duffy had came off and Cairns had gone on. We spoke about this last week. Flynn's obviously in there, right back. We see that. Surprised that Cairns maybe hadn't started earlier.
Yeah, probably. Interestingly, you said there Andy McCarthy was there last time, not a natural right back. We go there this time, Flynn Duffy, not a natural right back. You know, you look for things to improve your team, and if you're making the same mistake twice, you've only got yourself really to blame. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing. I can see why Flynn was taken off. It's not any recollect, no reflection on him, but he's not a natural right back. He's predominantly just left footed anyway, so it's daft that you'd have him at right back. I know, you know, injury, suspension, things will dictate where you play, but when you're against one of the better teams away from home, yeah, we struggled. You know, they exposed our right hand side because it's a weak area of ours.
Second half was exactly the same. Within a minute, less than a minute in the second half, it was 2-0, and he just couldn't really write it. I mean, this was a tidy finish for the edge of the box, but I think there's a couple of occasions that they probably could have cleared the lines a little bit quicker. But much like the first half, you're just giving yourself an absolute uphill task after that.
Yeah, and I go back to what I said, suicidal defending, because you've got to give yourself a chance in games. And I think it's, I don't know if it's complacency or naivety, but to once, okay, you can sort of legislate for it, but to do it twice in the same game, a minute into the half, you know, you make your own problems. And I think to give Queen's Park two relatively easy goals and right at the start of the half, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, Russell McLean got one back, made it 2-1. It was a tight little finish for him. Again, McCarthy just seemed to be all over the park at the minute. I think he's far and away we're a better player, has to be said. With a good cross on the left hand side, and again, as I said, it's a tidy finish, and it was his 50th career goal for him as well. So, not the good result, but again, another goal for Rusty and a milestone for him.
Yeah, and a good milestone as well, 50th goal. As you said, maybe not the result they wanted, but again, just another goal just keeps him ticking over. And like we said before, he's a confidence player. He's tend to find once he gets a goal, he gets a couple in quick succession. So good on a personal note for him. Just unfortunate the team couldn't get the result to back it up.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of results, but going down there, I think it was always going to be difficult. But given the state of the pitch, and I think we mentioned last week as well that the amount of games probably going to catch up with them slightly as well. So. But we went to Cove on Saturday. I think this was always going to be a difficult game. You know, they were, 17 unbeaten or something coming into that game. Playing well, obviously, top of the table, 5 points clear. We played them three times, lost all three, not getting scored. So it was always going to be very, very difficult. But once again, and we'll come on to it, two very early goals, and you're just giving yourself a mountain to climb rather than what you said earlier, just, you know, for the first 10-15 minutes, get yourself into the game and then see what happens. But, you know, we're saying the same things again. It's early goals.
Yeah, sort of feel a wee bit like we're on repeat, but it's, you know, the frustrating thing is you watch games and you can see what the problem is. And I'm not saying the guys don't see the issue. It's trying to stop it. And, you know, sometimes a team can rip you apart, and you can understand that. But it's happening too often that now I feel it's almost becoming a pattern that we concede early goals. And, okay, we scored four against Dumbarton. I was mitigating circumstances within it with the red cards. But we're now a team that naturally score plenty of goals. So if when you go a goal down early, you give yourself a massive uphill task to try and get back in the game, and that's probably the most frustrating part.
Two changes from the game on the Wednesday. Nia Payne also out with a head injury, concussion, I think. So he was replaced by Jack Browning, and Owen Cairns actually started as well at right back. Flynn dropped to the bench. So it was two fairly straightforward changes. You know, natural right back is what we were looking for. Jack Brown getting another chance as well. But again, throughout this game, Harry Milne was far and away the best player on the park. He got his two goals. I think he probably got a couple of assists in there as well. I don't know if they had identified that right back area was going to be an issue, or they thought, well, you know, maybe because Owen hadn't been playing there, can just go at him rather than the pace of Katongo on the other side. But a lot of the play for Cove was coming down over right.
Yeah, I think you're bang on. I think there's a couple of things in it that I think they identified that right back is probably one of our weaker areas. You know, if fans or Peterhead know that, then I'm sure other opposition managers know that as well. The fact that Owen hasn't been playing regularly since he came in, they maybe identified that as a weak area. But I think the pace of Harry Milne as well. I think he's a really good player, could probably play at a higher level. and they just seemed to pinpoint, you know, it was him that managed to get the penalty. He was involved in the you know, the other goals as well, apart from the second one. It's, I think they identified that he was a weak area, but not only was it just him, that any time that Kovacic had the ball on the right-hand side, they were quick to try and switch over. But on the same token, I felt Owen was a wee bit exposed at times. I think players have got to get, you know, they can see he's a little bit exposed. They've got to get closer to him with our defence. So tough afternoon for Owen, but, you know, Harry Mullen played really well.
Penalty on 8 minutes, then it was disputed, obviously, I think, with Scott Brown. I think he was the one who's adjudged to have brought down Milne. Soft, maybe, or do you think it was?
I've got my notes, I have no issues with it. I generally don't see an issue with it. I came Scott's nae, you know, best place with it, but looking at it, the referee's got, he only sees it once on the first view, and I thought it was a penalty, and I see nothing really to change my mind on it, to be honest.
And of course, Rory McAllister gets his obligatory goal against penalty against us, as well. Again, tidy finish for him. Then 2 minutes later, again, absolute nightmare. Meginson, as you said earlier on, much like the Queen's Park goal, just a ball through the middle of the defence again.
Yeah, lost possession, one pass, and they're in. Brett Long's quite high up as well. It's one of them, if your defence is 10 yards further back or your keeper's 10 yards further forward, you can maybe do something with it. It's in that grey area in between, but having said that, it's quite a big area to be in between. I think, you know, there's quite a few things at fault, but, you know, the root cause, losing the ball in midfield as well. Not for the first time we've lost possession in midfield, and it's cost us. Off the top of my head, Clyde, you know, we conceded the penalty from that as well. So again, we're going on about these things, but they're common things, and to improve the team and individuals, you need to learn from their mistakes. Just unfortunate, it doesn't seem to be quite becoming, but then it's maybe just a combination of every negative thing happening at once. But again, Megson took his goal well, rounded the keeper, and yeah, no problems with the finish.
Yeah, it was another tidy finish for him. We've got ourselves back into the game. Actually scored against Cove, which was
best goal of the game.
Which it was out of the seven goals, it was probably the best one. Hamish Ritchie, and as we said last week as well, he's started to come on to a game. Yeah. He looks confident. He looks like the player of last season, and this goal just kind of sums up that.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. That goal was almost reminiscent of what he did last season. Couple of little step overs, and then he drops the left shoulder, brings it back on his right, and then at a really good finish. I certainly think it was the best goal of the game. Again, as we said, we're starting to see the best of Hamish Ritchie coming through again. Taking him a little while this season to sort of settle in, a couple of new recruits alongside him as well, but now we're starting to see him coming good.
And what's good to see as well, and what we saw on Saturday as well, is they're starting to. Are they willing now to take efforts on for long range? Where, you know, for a long period of time they weren't wanting to do that. Now Hamish has scored for range, okay, just inside the 18-yard box, but it's still further out than some of the goals we've scored. I think Savory had an effort as well first half.
Yeah.
You know, so they are starting to get that confidence of, you know, taking these kind of shots on, and then seeing Hamish Ritchie score a goal like that will only, you know, kind of bring that on a little bit.
Yeah, if you've still got your bingo card for last week, it's you know, if you don't buy a lottery ticket, you may get a win.
Aye.
It goes back to, if you don't take a shot and get on target, you want to score. And I think that's a prime example of Hamish Ritchie. Quite easy, as you said, just inside the 18-yard box thing, but it's on the corner. Quite easy to play a simple pass backwards or wide rather than take the shot. But he's been rewarded for it. He's got the effort on target and he scored.
Yeah, we got ourselves back in the game, and then within 6 minutes, that was it. We were back to two goals behind. Meginson again scores, and as I said, Harry Milne doing that left-hand side, just a ball over the top of Cairns. And the cross comes in, and Brett does something weird, parries it, but it just falls to Meginson, and it was an easy finish for him.
Yeah, when I first seen it, I wasn't sure whether it took a deflection off McDonald at the time, but I didn't think it did, looking back on it. Again, Brett normally very strong in them situations, normally parries it away from danger. He could probably have parried it anywhere else and it wouldn't have fallen to a Cove player. Just unfortunate. And I think it was one of them halves that everything went right for Cove. It's fallen to Megson's pass, and his path, I should say, and yeah, again, a good finish.
They're top of the table, so they'll probably do, do go for you if you're challenging for a title. But you know, 3-1 doing at half time. And what was something that was fairly obvious, and I think we mentioned this in previous Cove games, that how well Megginson and McAllister play together as a partnership. Their movement alone is just unreal. You know, they're constantly moving the back four, and that's what you then get from us sort of playing that one up front. We didn't have that partnership, we didn't have that combination playing, and that's where we're kind of lacking. And you know, even with the experience of McAllister and Megginson, they're just so good to watch.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you said, they're top of the table, but I think their partnership's, you know, by far the best in the division. Normally, you come across teams that they've normally got one standout player up top. You'd think that they're going to be a nuisance or a key midfielder, but with Cove, you could probably go through their whole squad and pinpoint, you know, players that are going to cause you nuisance. And I think that was the case on Saturday. Everything that seemed to go well came through Milne, but again, if you tried to do Santa Mark come out of the game, you've still got Megginson and McAllister, so very difficult to defend against. But there is certain things we could have done the game to try and improve it.
Yeah, and it could have easily been four. McAllister, I think, probably would have looked at it and should have done better, maybe with his effort that he's hit with the, I think it was the outside of his boot, and it's gone wide of the post. So I mean, it could have been a hell of a lot worse at half time.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it could have been about four or five at half time. And even then, there's a couple of half chances that if they'd done better with it. So, yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. And I know looking on it at 5-2, it's not a great scoreline anyway, but I think, you know, it could have been worse. And I fear that, you know, on another day, we could have shipped 7 or 8. And that's the concerning thing.
Yeah. The second half, again, 2 minutes into the second half, you know, he's probably done his half-time team talk. It's surprising he didn't make any changes, but when we come back to that, so, you know, 3-1, do your relevant team talk. You know, what you're probably saying is just like, then I concede in the first 5 to 10 minutes, going 2 minutes in, and it's 4-1, and that's pretty much, you would have to say, actually, it's probably game over at that point, because there's nothing to kind of suggest that for 3-1 doing or 4-1 doing, we're ever going to get back into a game.
At 3-1 doing, and you go out for the second half, you'd be thinking, then I concede early, keep it tight for 10-15 minutes, and if we can nick a goal at any point to make it 3-2, we're in with a chance.
Yeah.
And then you go and concede a fourth, and as you said, it's effectively game over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nothing suggested in the game that we're going to go on and score potentially 2, 3, 4 goals. I know we'd score 2, but I mean, like, thereafter. Mm-hmm. We didn't look great going forward, but to concede a fourth quite early in the second half as well, it just sort of kills that. If you try to, you know, you try and get the boys G'd up in the dressing room and they get that little buzz as they're going to be thinking, if we get the next goal, completely just kills it by conceding the fourth.
Yeah, it was Milne that got the fourth one, and he had another effort. We could have scored on the hour. Then 75 minutes, he did score again. So, you know, 15 minutes to go, 5-1 down. There was just kind of no signs of any kind of sort of comeback. And, you know, for their left back or left wing back, if you like to score two goals, as I said, two goals and probably two assists, is thoroughly deserved his man of the match. But from a Peterhead perspective, it shouldn't really be happening.
No. Like I said, he deserved his man of the match. I do feel that the pinpointed were right side was an issue. He got licensed to go forward. We didn't really trouble him to make him defensively minded. He basically got freedom of Cove to come forward. Like I said, there's a couple of things that I felt we could have done better. And to be fair, as the opposite side, probably just conceded 5 flattered us. Mm. And that is a worrying thing for me to say, because, you know, defensively, when I've been great this last couple of months, and normally whilst we're not scoring much, we tend to be defensively pretty solid, but just this last couple of weeks especially, things just seem to be unravelling. And I know injuries play a part in that, but just a wee bit more work needed.
And we talk about sort of things not going away or not getting breaks. So I think we've certainly got the breaks with the final goal of the game to make it 5-2. Rusty, you know, to be fair to Rusty, you know, he's at 5-1 dude, it probably could have been easy for him just to go, well, I'm never going to chase that in dude. It's a point. But he did it, he chased it dude, forced the McKenzie into a mistake and hit an easy tap in to make it 5-2, and you know, that's his which is 14th goal of the season, something like that. So he's as you said earlier, he's taken away with the goals, but you know, it was good for him, but again, 5-2 at the time.
Yeah, to be fair to Rusty, there's a couple of times this last couple of weeks he's chasing keeper down and he's been close to getting a nick on it. So actually, I'm pleased for him, because it's one of them goals you feel he's been rewarded. Okay, in the big picture, it's still 5 conceded, we're not getting anything from the game. But for him, on a personal note, he's been rewarded for that chasing down. Because, you know, you could date for another 3-4 weeks, nothing happened. But then you just get that one chance that, you know, you've closed the keeper down, you've got the reward of it. It just keeps him going next couple of games. You think that it could happen again. And, you know, that can be the difference some games.
And it means as well that he's not given up. He's maybe given up in terms of, you know, maybe getting 3 points, but he's not given up in terms of trying to score goals, which for him and for us is also going to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You want your striker to be scoring. You know, he'll have a target in his mind of what he wants to finish the season on. You know, as you said, he's on 14 goals. I'd love him to finish on 20 goals for the season. I think that would be a fantastic return. And that's also going through a couple of blips within the season as well. There's been a couple of 4 or 5 games he hasn't scored. I think that'd be a terrific season for him if he got that. And again, it's just these little things, chasing the keeper doing, working hard, and hopefully gets a reward for it.
As you said as well, that I don't think Cove particularly played that well. You know, that, I mean, that's a surprising thing to say. You know, they've scored 5 goals, but I felt during the game that they probably had an extra couple of gears that they could have gone up. And I think Paul Hartley had said after the game as well, he, you know, for large spells of first half, he didn't think they were that great. So, you know, for them to play, for them to play not that great and still win the game 5-2 is worrying. I mean, they had 8 shots on target and scored 5 goals. Tells you all it needs. You need to know as to why they are in the position they're in.
Yeah, and as you say, was it 16, 17 games unbeaten? Confidence breeds confidence, and you get them breaks and a bit of luck. You know, they'll go up as champions. I can't see anybody stopping them. And to be honest, the season that they've looked good, but it's worrying that Paul Hartley says that they could have played better and they've still scored 5 against us.
Yeah, one positive. Oh, there's probably a couple of positives. But one positive I'm going to touch on was the fact that Gary Fraser did come on, come off the bench, 15 minutes I think it was he got, and I think he looked pretty good. You know, obviously it'll take him time to get that match sharpness, but you know, he was looking for the ball, he was demanding the ball, and it's been a long 15, 16 months, however long it is for him, but it's just good to see him finally on the pitch again.
Yeah, delighted for him. As you said, he was on the bench against Queen's Park, but rightly so, never came on to play in that Tatty Park. That was a horrendous pitch in there, but I was delighted that he got 15 minutes. As you said, it'll take him a while to just, you know, get back into swinging things. He's been out for 15 months. So easy for him to potentially give up. You know, the club did a lot of things for him, a lot of fundraising, and you know, all the good work has gone on before the last 15 months. I think Gary's now getting the reward, and it'd be brilliant to see before the end of the season if he's in the starting 11 at some point.
And just to continue the theme of the bingo card, it will genuinely feel like it's a new signing that we've got as well, because he's been out of the game for so long. Even just in that wee cameo that he got, the fact that he was demanding, while he was looking for the passes, and playing, you know, those kind of long diagonals that he can do, and the short little passes, it will genuinely feel like it's a new player, and just having him in and around the dressing room again should be a boost for the guys as well.
Gary was a key player until he got injured. He was always in the squad, very rarely missing. He's a key player. As you said, he demands that ball, and I think his communication on the pitch as well, I think we've missed that. And I know Scott is a leader in the middle of the park, but it's always good to have somebody like, so you know, you used to have Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Gary Fraser. To lose two of them, and Simon and Gary lately, you know, these are key players to be without, and as you said, it will feel like a new signing, and hopefully, you know, it just gives them that kick to go forward.
Okay, so we did mention that we're going to look at the early goals that we can see, and so we'll look at it then. This season, all competition in 37 games, we've conceded 61 goals. Okay, so between 0 and 15, so it's the first 15 minutes of the first half, and 15 minutes of the second half, 46 to 60, we have conceded 14 in each, so 28 overall.
28 out of 61.
28 out of 61. That's 46% of our goals have come inside the first 15 minutes of the first half and the first 15 minutes of the second half. Split equally, 14 and 14. So it kind of echoes of is what we were saying earlier on about, you know, that first 5, 10, 15 minutes of a game is crucial, and the first 5, 10 minutes of the second half is even more crucial.
Yeah. You could almost... You, as Daf says, going to say, you can almost lose a game within the first couple of minutes. The first period. So the first 15 minutes, you concede two goals. You're giving yourself an uphill task. We've said numerous times we didn't score enough goals, and you give a team a head start by an early goal, you're going to struggle. And that's why at times I get really frustrated that we didn't keep it tight enough at the back. That's not just the defenders, that's throughout the whole team. We need to be more compact. A couple of the goals that we've conceded lately as well, we're all over the shop. There doesn't seem to be any cohesion at the back. Now, I know there's injuries, suspensions, and you know these things play a huge part in it, but to concede 46% of your goals in the first quarter of both halves, that to me is quite alarming, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's not just a... sort of that's happened this season. It's a pattern that's been happening for the last couple of seasons as well, including this season. So take the three seasons we've been in League One again. We've in all competitions again we've conceded 148 goals. 60 of those have been in those same periods. So again, 41% of your goals in the last three seasons have been conceded in that first 15 minutes in either half. And as you said, because we're now scoring a lot of goals, if you're giving your opposition a head start, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, and the teams that we're up against, we say it every year, League One gets more and more competitive. When you give teams what almost feels like a head start, you're going to struggle. Now, you could look at it and say, well, you know, is it a common factor, but it's been different goalkeepers, it's been different centre-half partnerships. Is it just a mentality thing? You know, do the players think... Is it a case of we're trying to go out and win the game too early rather than, as we've said numerous times, play our way in the game, get through that first 15, 20 minutes and then see where you go for there? For, you know, was it 2 years ago, you played Wraith and you played Falkirk, and we just seem to concede goals far too early and ship goals, so... It is worrying, and it's something that, you know, if you're going to be successful, you need to stop conceding goals, you need to address it.
Hazard a guess as to which period of the game we score our majority of our goals in for the last couple of seasons?
Would it be towards the tail end of the first half?
It's the final 15 minutes of the game.
Final 15.
After 75 minutes, that's when we score our majority of our goals. Which, if you look at it, you say, well, okay, and like we said earlier on...
If we start the game 15 minutes later.
Aye, yeah. So Rust isn't giving things up. Obviously, the team's not giving things up. However, how many times, like the Airdrie game, for example, earlier on in the season, we were 3-0 down before we started playing.
Yeah.
And we scored two goals very, very late on. So the theme is we're giving the opposition head starts at the start of the games and the start of the second half. And before we actually then start playing in the last 15 minutes, or starting to score our goals in the last 15 minutes, as I said.
Which probably makes it even more infuriating, because we've got it in the locker. You know, we've said before, we've got quality within the squad. But again, I go back, like, you give your opposition, you know, a head start in this division, you're going to struggle. And that's probably why we're in the position that we're in. We concede too often, and we didn't score enough. It's as basic as that. And if you're going to concede, you know, 46% of your goals in the first quarter of games, you're always giving yourself an uphill task.
So it might be an uphill task, but we are into the final eight games of the season, and the final quarter, four home, four away. You look at how Jim normally sets things up, and he says he likes to get between 9 and 10 points per quarter, which would give us, as things stand, 37 to 38 points. Personally, I think we're going to need more than that. I think we might need 12 points. I think we might need 40. as things stand at the moment, you know, we've got Clyde in 33, Alloa 29, Weir in 28, Dumbarton 26, and East Fife in 20. You know, without looking at a psychic ball or anything like that, how things are going, how many points do you think would take us or keep us in eighth or even get us higher?
I think you might be okay with the 9 or 10. The criteria is you need to beat the teams round about you. That, you know, you need to beat Alloa, you need to beat Dumbarton, you need to beat East Fife. Mm-hmm. Now, our record against East Fife has been poor this season. Mm-hmm. We beat Dumbarton, but we struggled. You know, just the other week against 9 men. And I think we should be okay with 9-10 points, but you're going to have to beat the teams in about us. And do I think that we're capable of it at this moment in time? I've got my doubts. I know you're thinking 12. You went about you thinking I'm 12 points strong, considering we're back against these guys who are bottom.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the four home games, Montrose, Falkirk, Queen's Park and East Fife, I mean, for me, you have to take minimum 8 points out of those. Minimum 8 points. And then away games is Alloa, Clyde, Dumbarton and Airdrie. So you're looking, you know, you're looking about 4 points from those. You know, Dumbarton, we've beaten them 3 times already this season. Alloa could be the other key game as well. Clyde, unfortunately, seemed to be, for us, hitting a bit of form as well. So, you know, it's difficult to try and get these points on the board. But, you know, I think, you know, the home games especially will be the key ones.
I'd agree. It's tricky home games, but they're certainly points there that I think we can get. I think that Clyde game away from home could be massive. You said East Fife as well.
East Fife's at home.
East Fife at home. I think East Fife at home, Clyde away, I think they could be absolutely crucial for you know, both teams.
It's interesting with the fixtures would actually run out, because we've got Montrose at home on Saturday, then we're away to Alloa, then we're at home to Falkirk, then we've got 2 away games back to back, Clyde and then Dumbarton, and then we've got Queen's Park and East Fife at home back to back, and then we're away to Airdrie. I wouldn't like to be going to Airdrie
needing something,
especially the position at their end as well. I know they're still, they could, they're 5 behind Cove at this stage, but you never know. You know, a couple of wins for them, and you know, because they have to play each other as well, they could catch them. But you would think that those back-to-back games away from home at Clyde and Dumbarton could be key.
I think we'll pretty much know come the end of the game against Dumbarton where we're going to finish. I really wouldn't want to go into the Airdrie game looking really for anything. And you wouldn't also want it to be a situation where if you had to win, you know, if a team below you, i.e. a Dumbarton or an East Fife, were in touching distance of you and having to go there, you know, to me, that wouldn't be good. I think you need to beat Clyde and Dumbarton. East Fife, we're due to beat them. And then if you can pick up maybe a point somewhere else, I think we should be safe. But having said that, Dumbarton and East Fife will be looking to reel us in as well, so they've got stuff to play for as well.
What might play in our hands this Saturday is the fact that Dumbarton plays East Fife. You know, a win for either of those puts the cart amongst the pigeons slightly in terms of, you know, does Dumbarton then go above us if we fail to get anything against Montrose, or do East Fife then cut the gap again? And they've been slowly chipping away at the gap, because I think at one point the gap was about 12 or 15 points or something like that. So they've slowly chipped away at it, maybe picking up draws where they maybe could have picked up wins. But they are, as I said, they're just chipping away at not just our lead, but Dumbarton's lead as well.
Yeah, I think if East Fife got a win there, I think that would be massive for them. And as you said, it would cut the gap. And I think, as you rightly touched on, cat amongst the pigeons, it would, I think we'd hey, you know, we lose, and should East Fife win, that closes that gap, you're in danger. Because, yeah, okay, if you get a relegation playoff, you've always got that chance of staying up by winning the game. But, you know, obviously, if you finish bottom, you're automatically relegated. And looking at that fixtures that we've got, you know, even though I'm saying you can pick up 6 points against Clyde and Dumbarton, you know, we're 2-0 up at Clyde and we blew it, which is why I went on a couple of weeks back that them games, nay, hurting out your league could be pivotal. Like I said, Dumbarton away, we'll have a real idea where we're going to be.
And because of the way the league's been going this season, everybody's got someone to play for at this stage of the season. It's not as though that, you know, the top half is sort of run up and they've got their sort of playoff places in the bag. You know, Queen's Park and Falkirk still battling for that sort of fourth place. Clyde probably still fancy themselves to get in there as well. So they've still got something to play for. Obviously, Airdrie and Cove going for it for the league. Montrose, outside chance of the league title, but probably just slipped away for them slightly. Probably the only team that maybe doesn't have too much to play for. And as we said, Alba, ourselves, the Barton and East Fife just try to avoid a relegation battle. So everybody's got something to play for, and that's probably going to make things even more difficult to try to get points off these teams.
We've said numerous times it's a division that anybody can beat anybody, like you said, with the fact that there's a lot of teams with things to play for. Maybe in previous years you felt towards the back end of the season that certain teams would maybe not worry about a fixture too much, they're almost guaranteed of promotion playoffs, and you can maybe feel that you can pick up points somewhere. But, you know, as you said, everybody's got something to play for. It makes it a lot more tricky, and I just think that we're about to see the league just go into that, you know, East Fife, Dumbarton, Alloa, Peterhead, just that four teams at the bottom, and it's basically a case of two from four, and, you know, who comes out the strongest.
I've been fairly positive most of the season, but I just think, and I think, like you said, I'm starting to get a little bit worried with the way that we're playing, but the way that things are going at the minute. We are shipping goals again, not scoring it as much as we maybe should be. I know Jason's injuries come at probably the wrong time for us, and they just for him. But, you know, I think he's a big miss as well. I think Scott Brown's goals have kind of dried up a little bit as well. You know, even though Rusty's, as I said, he's chipping away, there hasn't been enough goals going for other parts of the team as well.
Yeah.
And this next 3-4 games it's really going to be pivotal for how we're going to finish. They probably are the toughest teams that we could probably get, but the fact that we've got Montrose and Falkirk at home might just be that might just help us slightly. I think it was if we were at war for him at them, I think, dare I say, it's points that we weren't going to get, but I think we've a better chance against them at home.
I think the thing that Peterhead's good at is when the chips are down, we somehow manage to get a result from somewhere. Cash our mind back last year, Falkirk here. Nobody really gave us a chance, let's be honest, even we were doubting that we could pick up 3 points. But, you know, they managed to do it. So sometimes when the things aren't going, you know, aren't going for you, we just need to pick up a result from somewhere, whether that be 3 points against Montrose or Falkirk. Falkirk's a decent side, but they're by no means unbeatable. I think that could, out of the two, I fancy our chances more against Falkirk than Montrose. You know, as you said, a home game, I just feel that things aren't quite going for us, and I generally fancy against Falkirk or Montrose to pick up 3 points. I don't know why. We've just sat here and said we've conceded 7 goals in 2 games. Criticise the defender. But when the chips are in, sometimes you just pick up that much needed win, the massive confidence boost. As you said, Jason's injury, you know, there's not a good time for your best centre back potentially to be out for 3-4 weeks. It's come at a really bad time for us. But if he's back for Clyde and Dumbarton, you know, you just feel you feel he's got a chance. What a boost that would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've got a hunch. I've just got a feeling that somewhere along out of them two games, we could pick up something.
Okay, so we'll start with the first game of those eight. Then Montrose at home, as I said, Montrose sitting third in the league at the moment. As I said, they've probably just slipped slightly out of the title race. Too many draws for them recently. Which will probably be disappointing for Pete Lee and his team. But again, Montrose, much like, you know, what we were a couple of seasons ago, you know, they got promoted, they've managed to hang in there, but they've also improved season on season as well.
Yeah, the fact that Montrose are even considered like a say title challenger, but you know, people have tipped them to be up there and amongst the playoffs. I think it's tremendous credit to Montrose. As you said, they came up and they've stabilised. They've maybe recruited better than what we've done. You know, they managed to get in some really good players, and they just seem to have steadily gotten better and better. I think that'll be our toughest game out of the next two. You know, Montrose and Falkirk, but I think we're going to struggle. But you know, every game is difficult. The players have got to pick themselves up. I know we've conceded five. We're going to have to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and you know they've got to go and they've got to put in a performance to try and. To win the game, because Montrose are one of them teams that can pick you off. You know, we've seen that a few times at Links Park. They've scored quite a few high scoring games from there. They can pick you off at will when they're in their game. We need to be mindful of that as well.
As I said, they've had too many draws since the turn of the year. They've had just three wins in their last nine. Four draws, and incredibly, the four draws have been against Alloa, Dumbarton, East Fife, and Clyde. You know, the teams that are about us. But they can beat the teams round about them, kind of thing. And I think that's maybe the kind of difference. But obviously, again, another team that we haven't scored against in the league this season. You know, a 1-0 and a 2-0 defeat down there, and a 0-0 up here back in October. So, you know, maybe a 0-0 maybe wouldn't be too bad of a result, depending on what happens elsewhere.
Yeah, I think we've got to look after ourselves. You know, there's still a quarter of the season to go. It's one of them. Yeah, you're mindful of the results, but for the players, they kind of be thinking, oh, we've got a point, but for the X, Y, and Z, we need to look after ourselves and get 3 points. Montrose, it had been a bit of a bogey side for us in recent years. We have struggled, as you've said. I feel we're going to be in for a tough afternoon, but I'll say it once more, then I concede early. And if you can feed your way into the game, like we've said numerous times the last 3 years, you give yourself a chance, but you shoot yourself in the foot if you can see it early.
If you're a betting man, you'd maybe start looking at us and going, actually, we'll stick a bet on for the rest of the league to score over the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
However, the price of fuel is these days, I can't afford to be doing that anywhere. But yeah, all joking aside, I think it probably is key, because you know, if Montrose get themselves their noses in front early, and as we've seen quite often, that the heads will drop, you know, and what we're starting to see as well, maybe slightly, is the fans maybe starting to get on top of the players as well, and that will also just feed through for the stands as well, and just make the game a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, we've seen that the other week against the Bar, and we were, you know, cruise control, 3-1 up. And then, you know, a couple of mistakes started creeping in. It's a vicious cycle. The crowd got on the players' back. The players were then reluctant to do things that they were doing well in the match in case a mistake happens. And it's a vicious cycle. But, you know, we've got good players. You know, they've proved it over time that these players are good enough to play in this division. We are a good side. We just didn't show often enough. And some things were a wee bit too exposed. But as I say, on our day, I think we can beat anybody. And, you know, there's no reason why. I think Montrose will be a very difficult game. There's no reason why we can't get 3 points.
It'll be interesting to see as well if Maya will be available. As you said, maybe Jason might be available as well. We know there's so much players to select from. You know, Gary Fraser, as we mentioned as well. So it'd be interesting as well. Maybe, you know, I think we said it last week, we're in danger of repeating ourselves, but somebody like Jason Brown, you know, give him a shot, give him a try. Just change things up slightly and just see what happens, because you know the way things are going, it maybe isn't working with that 4-4-3-3, 4-5-1. Maybe just because it's a home game, just try it, just two up top and see what happens.
I think the loss of Simon Ferry the last couple of, and I know, you know, at Christmas time he's played, he came off injured quite a few times. But to lose a player of his experience in the middle of the park with the young lads as well, I think that can't go unnoticed. I think that's been a huge problem as well. Where we need to put a holding midfielder in, you know, we said a few times it would have been too easy. You know, we lose possession midfield or a quick pass and a team's in behind. when we need to go to a diamond. You know, it gives you somebody as a holding midfielder and somebody up top with two up top and a sitting player in behind. There's different things we can try. Montrose is probably one of them games. A lot of folk are giving us a real chance in. You know, you always go into a game thinking you can win, but it's maybe the time just to try something slightly different, you know, and see if something works, because at the moment I just think we're a wee bit too easy to play against.
Okay, so we'll see how we fare on Saturday. Just one final thing I'm going to quickly mention as well. Peterhead United played Peterhead 11 on Sunday as part of their seven games in 7 days, which is a phenomenal achievement for them, raising money for Clare. Seven games in 7 days is quite an achievement for anybody, but obviously these guys, you know, aren't professionals, obviously working as well, you could tell it was starting to kind of catch up on them slightly towards the end.
Yeah, hats off to them. As you said, these guys are working and then they're having to play games at night and whatever. It's, yeah, terrific achievement, 7 games, 7 days, raising up that, a brilliant cause as well. And good to see the club as well, Peterhead, a couple of the players and the manager as well, up there for their Sunday afternoon, and for what was a good cause. So yeah, delighted for everyone involved.
Yeah, it was good to see. I think it was 8 in total, first team players was involved. Manager, as I said as well, Jim McLarnley was one. Former Peterhead player as well, Dean Cowie was involved as well. He played second half. So yeah, it was good to see. It was just like a mishmash of players. It was good, and as you said, Jim playing as well, 45 minutes. Still rolling back the head back.
Yeah, dug in the boots again.
Yeah, so it was good. I think it ended 8-3. I think we kind of lost Coot towards the end. Jordan's claiming a hat trick anyway. So, but he just shows you what you know. Throw him in, see what happens.
Yeah, give him a chance.
So it was good on them. So congratulations to the guys, Graham and everybody involved at Peterhead United for that, and probably a well deserved sleep on Sunday night after that week. But that'll do it for us for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. Also, my thanks as always goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Paul Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.